You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for listening. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Your face. You get that? Your face. On today's show, how to get rid of all those apps your phone won't let you uninstall. Find out if our movie guy cares whether Elvis had a twin brother. And what can we learn and apply to our lives from the brain of a professional athlete? Let's meet the friends with some sad celebrity news. Erin Myers is here.
Yes, legendary comic and red carpet commentator Joan Rivers is dead at the age of 81, so we'll have a little more on her life and what the next steps are.
Having fun with animals, it's Jay Capadonia.
Everyone has seen pictures of the giant rubber duck. Well, something bigger is coming. Details soon.
And I got to think of something smart to say here for you. I can't.
Take your time.
Because it's Chris Martin.
Two heavyweights from the entertainment world are exchanging shots. Wait until you hear the latest response from Floyd Mayweather Jr. to 50 Cent.
There you go. 50. Got to say 50 Cent. Go in the distance, Chris. That's what I like about you. All right, let's get things started. And thanks for tuning in. It's another beautiful day on the program, but it's a sad day in Hollywood, Erin.
Yes, it is. We just found out a little bit after 10 o'clock our time that Joan Rivers has died at the age of 81. She was at Mount Sinai Hospital, and her daughter Melissa has already released a statement saying, "My mother's greatest joy in life was to make people laugh. Although that is difficult to do now, I know her final wish would be that we return to laughing soon." And they have, you know, said thank you to everybody for all of the support. Now, this is what we know so far. Joan was on life support at Mount Sinai Hospital in Manhattan. We know she went into cardiac or respiratory arrest Thursday during what we're being told is a routine throat procedure at Yorkville Endoscopy. We have also learned that that center is now being looked at by the state health department. So it could be, you know, a serious situation here, possible lawsuit. We don't know, but they are looking into that now. Now, Joan has been in the business for over 50 years, most recently hosting the Fashion Police for E, live from the red carpet for E from 1996 to 2004. So a big friend over at E. But, you know, she has been in this business doing so many different things. And she was born in 1933 as Joan Alexandra Molinsky. She first started her career opposite Barbara Streisand in a play. Then she was on Candid Camera. And she really came to notice on The Tonight Show in 1965 after a guest appearance. And from there, she just went on with, you know, things like Nip Tuck, Howard Stern's radio show, Celebrity Apprentice, her own daytime talk show. And she was actually an author of 12 books, but a lot of, you know, people really remembering her today now after this news.
So many female comics out there say that she and Phyllis Diller really paved the way for them.
Oh, she is. She's one of those inspirations that whether you love her or hate her, she, you know, she inspired people.
So next year at the Emmys, who gets the bigger tribute? Robin Williams had a great tribute at the Emmys. Do you think Joan Rivers gets something like that?
That's one of those tough questions because she's burned so many people along the way.
Exactly.
She'll be remembered fondly, though. I mean, I guess that was her style, but you were talking about the books. A lot of her books were number one sellers, too, of that 12. And I think she actually, like, literally just released another book that was number one on New York bestseller before she died.
All the comics that sit at the roasts. You know, because she was big on those as well.
And she made the red carpet, too, in my opinion. So, I mean, that's why I watched. Now that she's not there, red carpet's not the same without her on there.
Is her daughter any good at that? Or is
no.
She, no, she's not?
Not the same as Joan. You got to go to Kathy Griffin now. Kathy Griffin's the successor to that throne.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, probably, right?
Oh,
she's the next closest thing to Joan Rivers.
The body's not even cold yet, and we're talking about all these, you know, what's going to happen next.
That's what Joan would have wanted.
Exactly.
That's true.
Moving on, she would say.
Right.
Passing the torch to somebody else who's funny and kind of way outspoken.
Yeah. She did kill on those late night shows, though, especially Carson early on. It was something to watch because she's really just a setup punchline type of joke artist, and she went for the throat every time. I mean, she would just bury somebody.
Yeah. Now, on the subject of kill, we have an airline story. Erin?
Yeah. Now, this is coming out of Malaysia. Apparently, Malaysian Airlines, you know, after their two disasters this year. I guess they had a promotional competition called My Ultimate Bucket List Campaign. Well, they've now scratched that. And
that's a bad idea.
Yes. Well, considering bucket list means, you know, adventures people want to have before they die. So they didn't think it was appropriate
you
at
mean like,
this time.
Like takeoff?
Takeoff, yes, all of those, yeah.
Oh,
a little inappropriate is what they're saying.
Yeah.
So anything, uh-huh. Anything saying bucket list has been removed from their website.
Achieve cruising altitude.
Oh, boy.
Last thing.
How about just land?
Yeah, right.
Like to get some salted peanuts in there.
Wow.
Well, you had made the joke earlier about just disappearing for a while. So, yes, all sorts of things that they're saying not appropriate with this at this time. They haven't said what this new promotion is going to be called, but they are offering prizes, including flights on the airline.
Wow.
You know, not sure if they're considered a prize right now at this point, but that is an offer.
They can't give the seats away. Is that what you're saying?
Can I get cash value, please? Like, no, thank you.
Do you have a partner airline? My goodness.
Yes.
Aren't they renaming
the
airline, too? They were talking about possibly renaming it also.
They are doing an overhaul. That is in the works. And they have actually cut a lot of employees, too, about 6,000 workers, and then like a almost $2 billion overhaul to the airline after these two disasters. You know, the one in March with the missing airliner and then the one that was shot down over the Ukraine. So hard to come back from all of that.
I'm mixing the letters of Malaysia up. I'm going to come up with words as we go. I'll let you know what those are.
Well, you are king of words with friends. I know that. You have destroyed me. Multiple times.
That's right. You know, the last time I destroyed you, you didn't start a new game.
Yeah, no, there's a reason for that.
Okay.
When you get destroyed by 250 points, I'm coming up with words like at, and you're like length for like 120 points. I'm like, forget it.
Yeah, right. Okay. There you go. You know, some people are sensitive, Aaron, on their birthdays.
Well, yes, apparently. And apparently sometimes their roommates are as well, because we are hearing that a man named Antonio Flores Narciso, 42 years old from San Antonio, Texas. I guess he allegedly stabbed his roommate for being too loud while he was having a threesome with two other women on his birthday. Yes. So this guy's trying to have a good time on his 35th birthday. And this other one, his roommate breaks into his room. I guess he kicked the door down or something and came in to complain about his boisterous cries. Passion, they're saying.
Cries
and
of passion.
Yes, so now the roommate, I guess he stabbed him multiple times in the head, but the roommate did survive, so he did survive his birthday attack.
Which one are we talking about?
The one having the threesome. He did survive
this attack. Yeah, I get where you're
Thank
going
you, Phil.
Yes.
Thanks.
All right.
And then he was taken to the hospital, non-life-threatening injuries, and now Narciso is in jail, and he is going to be charged this week for allegedly that attack.
Yeah.
So be careful on your birthday.
If you drop the Y from Malaysia.
Oh, God.
You get salami.
Hey, Salami Airlines.
You like that?
I'd fly that. It kind of looks like a giant salami with wings.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Can have a whole new food group there, too, going on while you're serving.
Sure.
Why not? Like they give you a free piece of pizza when you sit down.
It's a giant idea, Jay.
It is a giant idea. So everybody knows about this giant rubber duck. If you follow the program, you know a couple weeks ago we did the show from the Portsicall restaurant down here in the Port of Los Angeles. It's where we do the show every day. From out here, we've got a beautiful view of the port. Well, a couple weeks ago, a giant rubber duck was here for, what was it, the
Tall
Ships Festival.
In fact, it's still here for the Lobster Fest, at least the front end. Maybe it'll be here.
It's a giant six-story rubber duck.
It's parked over there collecting seagull poop.
Yeah, that's basically what it's doing. Well, that rubber duck is not the original rubber duck. The original rubber duck was made from a Dutch artist, right? And the guy who brought the rubber duck over here, he bought the plans, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, the Dutch artist who's famous for the rubber duck, which has traveled and visited 23 cities and 12 countries.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. He's a famous guy.
Well, he has now created something bigger and larger than life once again.
What?
An 82-foot tall white rabbit.
Oh.
It is a giant thing. It's made out of styrofoam and plastic and all of these holes in it so it can blow itself up. And basically, they are going to take that around the country or around the world and visit things like the Tall Ships Festival and whatever else festivals around the world.
I think people need to start showing up in Alice in Wonderland costumes.
That'd be cute.
Yeah. Take a picture next to the giant rabbit. Isn't that a good idea?
Oh,
that's the selfie right there. One pill makes you smaller.
So you're going to have hundreds of thousands of people dressing up in Alice in Wonderland costumes.
Right.
Follow the White Rabbit. You know, so it floats. They're going to put it on the water? They're not going to take it on land?
Oh, no. That's interesting. It is going to be on a floating barge of some kind.
Because rabbits are not known for their swimming.
Right. Right now, he's not sure if the rabbit will be standing or sitting, but either way, it is 82 feet in length, which is actually taller than the rubber duck.
Yeah, tall. That's eight stories.
Yeah.
Sounds like a grudge match. I want to see the duck and the rabbit fight it out.
Right.
Speaking of fighting, wait until you hear words that will make you want to hit something. Maybe put your fist through the wall. The words of Floyd Mayweather right here next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for firing up the program. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. We have Aaron Myers, Jay Capadonia, Chris Martin. Those are the friends right there. And I count you among them. We have so much coming up on the program, including our tech guy later on in the program, who's going to teach you how to get rid of all those pesky bloatware programs that came with your phone that you can't uninstall. You know, the ones that keep running in the background and killing your battery. No, I don't want you to run that operation for my phone. I have this other one that does it just fine. The one I downloaded. The one I prefer. Not that one. You can get rid of those. Well, we'll see. I'm scared to do that, though, because I think Samsung or Verizon's going to come after me.
Well, I want to know if you're going to void your warranty if you do that.
Well, that's a good question, too. Will you remember to ask Jeremy when we have him on?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't like him, but okay. I'm just kidding.
All right, so we've got this whole, Chris, we have this whole dust-up between 50 Cent and the champion boxer, Floyd Mayweather. What's going on there?
Well, they're going back and forth a little bit because here's what happened. Floyd Mayweather Jr. went into a radio studio in New York, a sports talk radio station, and they asked him to read a commercial that they were going to play on the air. And Floyd Mayweather struggled mightily with reading this commercial.
Was this actually a setup? Were the guys setting him up?
No, it wasn't. But they were smart enough to record the whole session. They had no idea what was going to happen, but they were smart enough to record the session. And then they leaked it, and of course, bloggers and everybody else grab onto it. It gets all over the internet. He was reading a commercial on the Show Your Stripes campaign. And this is
have you heard it?
For veterans. I hadn't heard it until I heard Floyd Mayweather earlier today. And if you guys haven't heard it, you need to hear it.
We have it?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm Floyd Mayweather. And I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio for the show. Your Stripes. I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio.
Should be iHeart, by the way.
Your Stripes movement to support hiring vets. I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio for the show. Your Stripes movement to support hiring. I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I'm Floyd.
What?
I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio for the show, Your Stripes Movement, to support hiring vets. Go to the show, yourstripes.org, a website that connects veterans with employees and helps businesses. Okay. The website that connects
you're getting there, Floyd.
With employers.
All right. Now, here's the thing, though. You're sitting over there laughing. You're a professional announcer. How's your right jab?
Oh, my God. No, that guy would destroy me in the ring. There's no doubt about it. But, I mean, come on, buddy.
Yeah, that's a little rough. Well, this takes you back to what 50 Cent has been saying all along, because he's a word master, word crafter, and all of that. And what's his deal with Mayweather?
I think this is a ploy to get back in the spotlight somewhat, but he did challenge Floyd Mayweather to read a page from Harry Potter, from the book of Harry Potter. He said, if you could read a full page from Harry Potter, I will donate $750,000 to any charity you want. And he says this in an interview, I think, on a radio station. And before he leaves, he comes back and he goes, you know what? Never mind. I'll pay $750,000 if you can read a page out of Cat in the Hat.
It's mean, but it's like a good cause, though. So I
right.
say, go for it.
So Floyd Mayweather responds, and his camp responds and says he can read. And you know he can read. He can put words together. But he also has trouble with sort of like the syntax and how the words flow, because it's like, show your stripes, Foundation. But
that's where Cat in the Hat and Dr. Seuss comes in and helping children figure out their syntax.
Bingo.
Right.
Okay, so we can start there, Floyd.
And so, but he's come out and said, and sort of put a squash to all this beef by saying, look, 50, if you want to do something, just donate that $750,000 to Mike Brown's family over in Ferguson. And that was kind of the only response that he released. And I feel like that sort of pushed the ball back into his court, because where does 50 go from here? You can't keep jumping on him.
Yeah. But then, again, Fitty's good with the words, and Floyd's good with the fists.
I think he also tweeted to 50 that he should just go 12 rounds with him in the ring, which I would pay a healthy sum to see those two fight.
Would you?
Yeah.
It would be over in a second.
Yeah. Really? Because 50's so much bigger, right?
But like, Floyd is so much faster.
Yeah.
He would just dance around.
Wasn't 50 Cent the one that threw that wild pitch on the first pitch?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went way off to the left.
I don't think I'm letting the cat out of the bag. 50 Cent is not an athlete. He was in the chess club in high school.
He's built like an athlete.
He's a gym rat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's built like one, but no.
No, he's just figured out the whole, you know, how to get the cred.
How to be famous.
Yeah, he just figured that out. He's a smart guy.
Probably can't even shoot a 9.
I am going to go home and listen to that Floyd Mayweather audio for hours.
I'm Floyd Mayweather. For the show, Your Stripes.
Kids, don't become a boxer.
No. Don't become a boxer. And please, if you're out in the forest, don't upset the bears. Right, Aaron?
Yeah, not such a good idea, actually, especially if you're out in Book Cliffs, Utah. I guess a woman and her four kids, they were on a trip. They were in their trailer, and I guess they heard a loud knocking sound. So the woman actually opened the door, didn't really see anything, closed the door back up. And that's when, all of a sudden, they started to hear scratching sounds and things like that. So they pulled up the blinds, and they realized they were face to face with a huge 6-foot-tall black bear.
Oof.
Now, the woman said that they tried to scare this bear away. They were making noises. They were, you know, yelling at it. And the bear just kept messing with them, I guess. It was rocking the trailer, tearing chunks off of it, like fiberglass flying everywhere. And they dealt with that for 2 hours until finally the husband came back. He was out hunting, I guess, for deer. He fired a couple warning shots and the bear took off. But if you're going to be in that area, I guess this is kind of normal behavior for the bears. They've had like 4 incidents.
That sounds like
recently.
The bear was toying with them. They very easily could have opened up a window and gone in there.
Oh yeah, it was. I think it was just like, I'm going to put a little fear in you right now. So.
They're smart, man. I was camping not too long ago in the High Sierras out here in California, and we watched a bear go into a car, go into the center console, and get a bottle of lotion, and then get out of the car like it was nothing.
It's like, what did he do with the lotion?
He chomped on it and just squirted all over the place. And then he goes, oh, this is gross. That's
not tasty.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But it probably smelled, you know, like lilacs or lavenders or something.
Sure.
Tasty.
Not that smart, stupid bear.
Lotion. Maybe some of those bears are smarter than this woman that you have a story about, Jay.
Speaking of Utah, we go back to Utah. Now, I am a huge fan of the Florida stories, but this one kind of takes the cake. A woman was apparently in Zales Jewelry. You know, high-class joint like Zales.
Yeah.
And says, can I try on this wedding band? And she tries on a double-band wedding ring worth a couple $1,000s, right?
Yeah.
And took off. She just ran with it. Well, as she was being chased by police, she evidently swallowed the ring. An X-ray was taken, and it shows that the whereabouts of the ring were actually in her stomach.
Yeah.
So,
what happened?
She was given what's called a dry toilet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's been ordered...
an evidence toilet.
...to search through her own poo...
Until
the ring is found.
What does she get to use? What kind of tools?
I don't know if they give her gloves or anything.
Nothing?
Of course. Yeah, but a dry toilet's kind of like a bedpan.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
But the cop, who like was interviewed by the local television station out there, has the greatest line of all time. We don't get paid enough to dig through people's bowel movements. Like, I ain't doing that.
No, I ain't doing that.
That's good punishment for her, too.
It
though.
Is.
Right? Exactly.
Did they at least give her a popsicle stick?
No, no. Come on.
No?
I don't know. Maybe.
That what is you... taking the concept of dine and dash to a whole new level.
Yeah, right. Like,
hey, here's good news for us men. If this survey is right, every man in the world should celebrate by eating a giant chocolate cake, all of it, not just the slice. Eat the entire cake right now. Go ahead and do it, because this just might be the best news in the history of the world. A new survey found that 3 out of 4 women say they prefer a guy with a big belly and love handles.
That's what I'm talking about.
Than a guy with six-pack abs.
They know he's not going anywhere.
So
anywhere fast anyway.
Right.
So
they're cuddly and lovable.
Yeah, damn right we are.
Well, here's what the survey found, because the question is why. 96% of women say they automatically assume a guy with a belly has a better personality than a guy with a great body.
We do.
91% say guys in perfect shape prioritize the gym over spending time together.
They
sure
do.
80% say guys with abs can't relax and have any fun. They're obsessed with what they eat. They won't share dessert. And after the night out, they're only focused on going to the gym to work out off what they did. And 74% said the guy with a great body makes them feel self-conscious about their own body.
Well,
girls like to be the better-looking one, let me tell you that.
Yeah, why not?
And you always want to marry up, so I'm down with that.
And most of
statement.
Our cases,
absolutely.
It's not too hard to achieve that.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you going to watch at the Cineplex this weekend? You might want to stay home. And our movie guy reveals some very good reasons why. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we thank you for doing that. I'm Phil. We have Aaron and Jay and Chris here. And we want to find out what movies are worth watching and which are worth avoiding. Our movie guy, Orange County Register reviewer, Michael Strago, is here. Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Not much in the way of new wide release flicks this week, but we do have The Identical. Did you see this one? It's about, is it about Elvis or is it about his twin brother?
Well, I didn't see it, but it takes place in an alternate universe where, Elvis's twin brother lived and became a preacher man. And, and apparently in the movie, he even refers to things like, there's only one Beatles, there's only one Elvis. So it really is confusing. But I haven't seen it. It's widely been reviewed as one of the worst films of the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. And that's really the only one opening in hundreds and hundreds of theaters this
Well, there's,
this
a, there's a really pretty terrible horror film coming out. Well, it's not really a horror film. It's almost like another young adult romance called Innocence. And that's opening in hundreds of theaters, actually.
But you call it horrifying. Yeah, all right. But
well, I said it.
Yeah, I got
it's
you.
As I said, it's big messages. Nothing says loving like something from the coven,
Oh, what? little witch action, I see. All right.
Yeah, no, it's set at a girls' school, and it's like, and the teachers are and the staff are all like, the Real Housewives of Transylvania.
No, nice. All right.
I always say nothing says loving like something from the oven.
Yes, well,
bake something.
That was the joke. Yes, yeah. Thank you for getting it.
Well, 2, 3, 4.
Get him, Michael. Yeah.
All right. Well, since it sounds like a big waste of time to go to the Cineplex, unless you want to catch up on some of the movies that came out in previous weeks, plenty of nostalgia on DVD, isn't that right?
Well, it's not just DVD. Forrest Gump is actually opening in hundreds of theaters, hundreds of IMAX theaters.
Oh,
in
nice.
In a new digitally reprocessed print. So that's actually... probably of the new offerings, that's probably going to do better than any of the new movies. I mean, like I said, I'm not a fan of that movie, actually. But if you see it now, like, you're not only you're not surprised that it won 6 Academy Awards. We tend to forget what a big deal it was, and Best Picture, and Hanks was Best Actor, and it made $670 million worldwide. When you see it now, you're just surprised that it didn't it take in $2 billion and win all the Oscars.
What's the point of IMAX, though, for that?
Well, it has the best reproduction, the densest image and the biggest image you can get. So it is a great way to see a movie. And I actually think, Forrest Gump is probably good for the IMAX presentation because it was one of the first movies on a big scale to use digital enhancement to make crowd scenes seem larger and more inhabited, to do interesting things with the settings, to put a reflection of the Washington Monument in the reflecting pool, if it wasn't there, to increase the number of people at the March on Washington that they had only a few hundred extras, but now it seems like they have thousands of extras. And the Vietnam scenes, which are really, I think, the best part of the movie, really are an extraordinary mix of actual physical stunts and digital trickery and really horrifying firefights. I think the real reason the movie, why I say that you're surprised that the movie didn't make even more money and win even more is it's just that it like panders to everybody in the audience.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's kind of fascinating, to watch. I mean, you can read anything into this.
That's why everybody loves Forrest. Run, Forrest, run.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody you could talk to that hasn't seen that movie at some point in their life.
Probably at one time or another, on TV or whatever. And I'd be curious to see, if it touches the same chord when it comes out now. Because, like I said, I mean, it's been it's been on DVD. They have a new Blu-ray coming out at the end of the month. But it hasn't been re-released in theaters. And it'd be curious to see if they can pull this off.
Yeah. All right. And when I talked about DVD, there are movies coming out on DVD, and there's more nostalgia. Sideways was a great movie about, 8 or 9 or 10 years ago, right?
Well, so it's the 10th anniversary of Sideways. I mean, that's on DVD. I think they have a new edition coming out. But, the thing for that is that it is the 10th anniversary, and it's kind of wild to think of how far we've traveled from Sideways.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a movie about, a couple of real losers. And you can imagine even in the smaller boutique companies, like the one that released Sideways, you'd think, we've got Paul Giamatti playing a failed novelist who steals from his mother in the first 15 minutes. And Thomas Hayden Church is an engaged guy who has a wild fling with Sandra Oh. I mean, that's part of what's delicious about the movie. Mm-hmm. In this era when we're always looking for people who are, in my least favorite word in the dictionary, relatable.
Yeah.
It's great to see a movie about people.
Yeah, and I never understood what the fascination was with Sandra Oh.
I don't like her.
No?
But she was on Grey's Anatomy for 100 years.
Yeah, she's a good actress.
She is very good.
Actress. Yeah.
Where I guess she's made a big impact in Grey's Anatomy.
Always the supposedly the hottest lady on the set, but she's got one of those butter faces, right?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, talk about swinging for
fences. That was horrible.
Didn't Sideways launch Paul Giamatti's career, really? I mean, I know he was in Private Parts, and he did really well there, but like, after Sideways, it was like, now he's everywhere.
Yeah, he got a ton of attention for that afterwards,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he didn't. It's funny, he got a ton of attention, but he didn't get even an Academy Award nomination, which was a big shock at the time. So it's probably why the next year or the year after that, he got a nomination for Supporting Actor for Cinderella Man, a movie nobody remembers.
Yeah, yeah. But wasn't Sideways got some Oscar nominations, right? Like three.
Yeah, I think the only one it won was for best screenplay, best original screenplay.
Gotcha.
But it also, I mean, Giamatti had done a lot of good work in independent films before, but this was the one that had really launched him into, having leads in smaller films like Win Win, a terrific little movie a couple of years ago, or being the lead on HBO and John Adams. He really made him a kind of Dustin Hoffman, Gene Hackman kind of character actor star.
Right.
And let's not forget Virginia Madsen, who's fabulous and just as so unfortunate. He hasn't had a role as good since. And Hayden Church, who is a terrific actor. And, I thought he was great, after Sideways on that AMC Western miniseries, Broken Trail. So it's got just a ton of talent.
I don't go out and buy DVDs all that often. Usually the DVDs I have, somebody gave them to me. I don't know how that works out, but here's one that I might actually buy, and judge me if you will, but Young Frankenstein is one of my favorite movies ever.
And it's one of mine, too. It's one of the funniest movies ever made. And, it's funny. It's nice that, you kind of bring that up today because Actually, it's Mel Brooks' best movie, I think. I think the way he handled the satire of the old Universal horror movies, which, by the way, are out this week in a complete DVD set, that's where he got his inspiration from: James Whale's Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein, both of which are, again, two of my favorite movies.
I can't believe it's been 40 years, Michael. Can you?
Oh, man, I know. And you know, Peter Boyle and Gene Wilder putting on the Ritz, and Gene Hackman as the blind monk pouring the soup in the monster's lap. I mean, there are such amazing things in that movie. But, you know, speaking of Mel Brooks, you know, today we just learned about Joan Rivers. And, you know, Joan Rivers actually had a part in a Mel Brooks movie that's probably, you know, not that familiar, but in Spaceballs is a Star Wars parody.
Oh, really?
Love
yeah,
that movie.
Yeah. She's the voice of Dot Matrix, who's kind of the the mechanical, the fetching mechanical
creature.
That's
right. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and she actually has a very funny line. At one point, she gives off a little alarm, and kind of the Han Solo character says, "What the hell was that?" And she says, "It's my virgin alarm. It's programmed to go off before you do."
That's right. That's right.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, and actually think of things to see either on streaming or on DVD.
Well, you know what? Yeah, this is something.
Piece of work. This documentary on Joan Rivers that came out.
Oh.
I think in 2010. A great portrait of just a working comedian.
Yeah.
You see that movie and you just appreciate how much effort she put into it, and she's was the kind of comic who sort of made comedy out of her. You know, she was always pushing, but that was her comedy. She made that part of her comedy. And when you see her wall with like boxes, card files of the jokes she's written over decades, it's just a kind of old fashioned demonstration.
It's called Joan Rivers, a piece of work, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Hey, you know what? I want to move along to the next thing. And thanks for the thoughts on Joan Rivers. It's great and timely and all of that. But you know what? Talk about timely. More and more people are not going to the movies. They're sitting at home and watching something they like, video on demand. And there are a couple movies that have caught your eye. And it, not only is it more popular, it's especially nice when it's the only way you can get Eva Longoria to visit your living room.
Yeah, Eva Longoria is actually very good in one of those movies. It's called Frontera, and it's going to open in a few theaters, but simultaneously it's playing on video on demand. I don't know how this works out for the studios, but increasingly they're doing it, so I assume it's making money for them, and it is providing a wider viewership for this movie. Frontera is a really good muckraking melodrama. It reminded me a little bit of that Jack Nicholson movie, The Border, from years ago. Ed Harris is terrific as an ex-sheriff whose wife is accidentally killed on the border. She's played by his...
Who is she played by? Well, no, what I do know is that if you want to watch one of these movies on demand, it's like $10. You get from Google Play or something called Vudu. You ever do that? Vudu?
I haven't done that one, but I actually have seen that movie, Frontera, and it was on demand. I did like it. I love Ed Harris, and he was very good in that. So
yeah,
it was very good.
And and Michael Pena is the other lead. Actually, he's the Mexican illegal immigrant who is sort of suspected of the murder of Harris's wife.
Oh, he's the guy that's going to play Ponce in the new Chips movie, Michael Pena.
Now we're talking.
He is.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I'm glad you got your blood running on that one. But Eva Longoria is actually his wife in the movie, and she's very good. Except that her part of the movie is a little, after this long, wonderful buildup about what happens to Pena and Harris's characters, her part of the movie, which is harrowing, shows her being taken by a ruthless coyote across the line. It actually isn't developed that well, but she's very good in the movie.
Michael, we're just about out of time. We're going to give you about 30 seconds to get this other film, which I know you love.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Startup. It's a British prison movie. It kind of takes you inside a prison for violent prisoners in a way that no other movie has. And it stars in what's going to be a tremendous career break performance, Jack O'Connell, who's also going to be upcoming in Angelina Jolie's version of the best-selling book. Unforgiven. I've lost it. Unbroken. So you'll be hearing a lot of Jack O'Connell, but if you want to see his best work to date, you see Startup.
Gotcha. All right. Always a pleasure to speak with you. We'll catch up with you next week, find out what's at the Cineplex, if there's anything worth watching. Michael Schrago, thanks. And read his reviews in the Orange County Register or the Los Angeles Register and online at losangelesregister.com. Up next, I know you could use a dog story any day of the week, but we have two, maybe three dog stories, and you will not believe any of them are true, but they are, and they're next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. We love that you are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends right now. We have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com. You could always listen on demand to every single show we've ever done. There are like 120 of them now, I think. More than that. Maybe I think we're up to about 130. Isn't that right, executive producer Mike Stark?
I believe you're correct, sir.
Thank you.
That means we go into syndication once you pass 100.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Reruns every third day. Where we bring in Letterman to host the show.
Yeah.
All right. We do love the dog stories. And but this is about as bizarre as a dog story can ever get. And Aaron, I'm going to leave this up to you because I'm not touching it. You try to explain what happened here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we all know by this time it's only been third day here. But I love animals. And I saw this and I thought, but do I love them that much? Because I guess in India, an 18-year-old woman, her name is Mangli Munda, I think.
Mangli Munda. Hey, Mangli.
Yes. She is apparently going to have to marry a stray dog. Because apparently, it is to fight off evil spirits that her family believes she has. I guess they surround her. I don't know. And this is actually an arranged marriage, too. Her dad found this stray dog for her to marry, and they are paying for the wedding.
What was that selection process like?
Yeah. I don't know, but the dog does have a name. It's named Sharu, now that, it's off the streets.
Oh.
But I guess she said, she's not okay with this, and this is her statement. I am not happy with this marriage.
Wow.
So she's not happy. But her parents said this is a must. They have to do this. They said that it's actually kind of common in certain villages that these kind of things happen.
Oh, sounds perfectly normal.
It's like Fiddler on the Roof, where the yenta sets them up and they're with the butcher, and she's not happy. And
how do they?
They're never.
At
happy.
Least that's human.
They're never happy with the arranged.
How do they consummate?
Well, see, they didn't go in that detail, I think probably on purpose. So they're going to leave that all up to your imagination. But it's not a legal marriage. This is supposed to actually ensure that
thing.
Yes, animal and human becoming one.
Yeah.
But the longevity of her next marriage, which will hopefully be to an actual man.
It'll be a Beauty and the Beast thing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love my dog. I have a boy dog. I love him a lot, but I don't know. That
I
much is pushing
beast.
It.
No, boy.
I saw the picture. They both looked very happy, her and the dog. They were both smiling from ear to ear.
What was the dog's name again?
Sharu.
And Mangli.
Yeah. And I don't know the dog's last name, so I'm not sure if she's going to take it or vice versa on this one. Uh-huh. But, yeah, a little different.
Sharu, Lama Lama Ding Dang, I think is what his last name is.
Oh, boy.
All right, so you have a dog story as well, don't you, John?
I love the puppy stories, and this puppy is pretty awesome. So Great Danes are gigantic dogs, right?
Yeah.
They can probably eat a lot. Well, veterinarians in Portland, Oregon, had to put this Great Dane into surgery, unfortunately, because of something that he ate, or some things that he ate.
Uh-oh.
Anybody want to take a guess?
Dogs
household item?
Dogs eat everything.
G.I. Joes, Legos.
Okay, so it's a Great Dane, right? It's huge, big dog. It can get up on your counters. It can probably reach the top shelf in your pantry. But
silverware.
He ate 43 and a half socks.
Oh.
Were they clean or dirty? I mean, that might make a difference on why he ate socks.
Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't say in the story, but that's really interesting. But, you always ticked that, you know, the washing machine steals your socks.
Sure.
Not in this house.
No.
The Great Dane.
So what they do? They get them all out of there?
They got them all out of there. The dog says he's going to be, or the veterinarian says he's going to be fine. And there's actually pictures of all the socks on, like, this giant conveyor belt. They just went in there with this long tube thing, grabbed it, pulled them out.
Oh, so they weren't really even digested.
At a time.
They were whole socks?
They're still whole socks.
I'd be selling those on eBay after that now.
Yeah, well, you think about it, though. The dog probably thought they were cheesy snacks.
Something.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd be matching them up, throwing them back in the sock drawer.
Yeah, so it's actually pretty good. That 43 and a half socks. That's a lot. Great.
Yeah, but you can get all those socks, put them in a bag, and take them to the judge.
That's very true. This guy in Marion, California, which I believe is up north. I don't know where that is.
Me neither.
Anyway, so this lawyer.
Married to Mr. C. That's all I know.
This lawyer goes into court and he's doing his thing, you know, and he's talking. And the judge stops one of the proceedings and says, "Excuse me, sir. Do you not have socks on?" He says, "Judge, I hate socks."
Ooh.
"I don't wear them." I mean, can you imagine this guy? He's probably one of those guys with like the pennies and the loafers and all that.
Yeah, right.
Penny loafers.
Like strutting around. That's the joke, Chris. That's the joke. So, but I just can imagine this, you know, DB. But anyways, the judge said, or he told the judge, he goes, "Look, I'm not going to wear socks. I don't like them." Judge says, "You must wear socks for my court proceedings because you are not dressed appropriately to represent the law." He says, "Oh, yeah? I'm not doing it unless you order me under legal authority." Well, that's exactly what the judge did.
Yeah.
So he has been ordered to never again appeal for a legal proceeding in the judge's court unless he is entirely clad in appropriate business attire, which includes socks.
Yeah. All right. Next, he'll be showing off his thong.
I know, right?
Yeah, fair enough, but I don't really see the big deal. It doesn't look that unprofessional, yeah. I guess.
Hey, professional sports, we have some football tonight, don't we, Chris?
We do, yes. If everybody's ready for some football, then tonight is the first game of the NFL season, which Tuesday I mistakenly said that it was Denver versus Indianapolis, but they actually play on Sunday night on the same network, though, NBC. Tonight will actually be the Green Bay Packers versus the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Seattle's going to be good again, huh?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people saying Seattle could be a dynasty, but Green Bay is one of those upper echelon teams in the NFL as well. Certainly a better offense, maybe won't be able to keep up defensively with Seattle, but it should be a really good game, especially because the last time that these two met, it ended on a very controversial call where Wilson threw up a Hail Mary touchdown at the end of the game. It was caught by Golden Tate. At least that's the way the referee saw it. You could have called it either way. It could have been an interception.
That would have been something if you threw up right in the middle of the play.
I used to do that.
Did you?
Oh, man, playing football and stuff.
Oh, you get hit?
I would get behind the center, and you just go, "I am going to lose it." You come around a corner, linebacker just gives you a what for, and you just leave it all out on the field.
Right. Yeah. That comes from every college football movie, too.
What happened to Wes Walker?
What happened to Wes Welker? He got in trouble for taking PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs. Apparently, he was slamming some Molly at the club.
Molly?
Not even at the racetrack.
Doesn't enhance your performance.
MDMA. He tested positive for MDMA at the Kentucky Derby in May. He heavily refutes the accusation, saying that somebody must have slipped him something
or
must have mixed into something else. I don't know, but he's always had those sort of crazy eyes where they're really wide and focused. / serial killer looking.
Wow.
In it's his meth face.
So,
yeah, right?
I
but at the Derby, he walked out of the little bar area after he won and started passing out $100 bills.
Wow.
Maybe he was
lit.
Loaded.
Oh, by the way, I just wanted to share with you, you know, the highest rated show all of last year, Sunday Night Football averaged 21 million viewers for each episode.
How about that?
Crazy.
Hey, the strangest excuses for missing a job interview. We have the list. Wait until you hear it. And how safe are all those nude selfies you have stored up on the cloud? Those stories and more in our second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, why professional athletes are making millions performing at their peak while you melt into your Barco lounger. And getting the courage to do what it takes to remove all that bloatware from your smartphone. The friends are here, Aaron Myers, Jay Campadonia, and Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get things rolling right away because it's a busy hour on the program. Aaron, my goodness, you take the kids to a field trip and then this happens.
Yeah, a bit of a scary situation at a museum. I guess they were doing a demonstration about the science of tornadoes and it did not go well at the Terry Lee Wells Discovery Museum in downtown Reno. Emergency crews ended up having to respond to reports of an explosion yesterday afternoon. And when they got there, they said they found 13 people injured with minor burns and smoke inhalation. And most of them were kids because, you know, tornado, they're, you know, they're a science museum
so
for children.
So it's like a field trip or
something like that. And so all these kids, they're saying they suffered maybe acid burns on their hands, their arms, their faces. So not what you want to have happen if you are on a field trip or your little kid going to the museum. And they are looking into what could have caused it. And they did say that they use methyl alcohol and boric acid mixture during this. So anybody who has science background, I'm guessing that can cause what they're saying may have been a chemical flash.
Yeah, that's what it'll do. It'll cause a chemical flash. Yeah,
you know this for a fact over
there? Well, she said if you have a science background.
There you go, see?
Whatever
tell us about it.
To the baking soda volcano? What happened to those?
Yeah, let's just do that.
It's just the easiest. The kids still go, wow.
Dropping Mentos into a Pepsi bottle.
Yeah, they
shaking
still,
it up.
They learn something from that and then move on.
Every science professor comes to class and thinks he's a mixologist, you know? After a night at the bar, he sees the guy shaking up together all these things, making a beautiful drink, and he comes into the class and says, yeah, I can do that too. And he gets the boric acid and the methyl alcohol together and boom.
And their eyebrows are gone. So, yeah. Apparently this is what happened. I mean, they said they saw flames and smoke and fortunately nobody was injured worse than they were.
And you notice how clear the freeways are today? There's nobody's driving in Southern California, especially in the greater Los Angeles area. And I think I have a reason why. People are just not leaving their house because they're worried about something.
They are scared right now because there is a venomous albino cobra on the loose outside of Thousand Oaks, California. And we know this because apparently it bit a dog Monday night. And they started looking for it on Tuesday, and they still have not found it.
It's what they call a dry bite.
A dry bite.
No, that's true. Sometimes the cobras will bite you with venom. Other times, not with venom.
Okay.
And when it's not, that's called a dry bite.
It's called... You're lucky.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Lucky dog.
This dog did survive. Yes. So it was a lucky dog. It has recovered, but they are still looking for that albino cobra, and they're
How
not sure.
How big is it?
Ooh,
do we know?
No, it's like seven, 8 feet long, isn't
pretty
it?
Pretty good size, obviously.
I'm not seeing how big snake. It is. How do you lose an 8 foot long albino snake?
They let it go.
Curled up, coiled up inside one of those baskets.
Do they have a guy with a flute running around the town?
They should just send me out there because I call myself sort of like the animal whisperer. I can do that for
them. Can you?
Have you
captured snakes?
I used to have snakes, and instead of capturing them, I would let them go in our house. Yeah, my dad wasn't pleased with that. We only had things like boas and gardener snakes, nothing poisonous. He wouldn't be watching us, and we'd go release them because we felt bad that they were in cages. So maybe, you know, similar situation.
I would have kicked you out of my home so fast.
Oh, just ask about the time we let go of all the mice that the snake ate. I don't know how long they were running around.
Wow. You know, we did a background check on her, didn't we?
Okay.
We need to.
Not a very thorough one.
Yeah, right.
Those things don't show up. That's what you learn about people later.
Maybe we need to tap into your cell phone calls.
Well, apparently you probably can, because they have found at least 17 fake cell phone towers this week or last week in a report in Popular Science. Now, I guess a company called ESD America, they have this special Cryptophone 500, and it was able to detect these 17 towers.
Cryptophone,
yes. I have no idea what that is exactly, but it can detect towers that no one else knows about. They are saying they don't think these towers are the NSA, but they do tell us that they are close to U.S. military bases. A lot of them are. So not sure why they're there, but they can actually get into your phone. They can detect messages, I guess. They can tap your calls, read your text, all that good stuff.
So see all your nude photos.
Yeah.
Jay, no. You're in trouble now on that one.
You know what? I'm okay with it. You want to take a peek? Go for it.
Take a look. Look at this hairy beast.
Yeah, just be careful if you're driving. Wait, is he the one in the picture marrying the dog?
No.
The woman in India?
Come on now. What's the matter with you?
Oh, boy.
The hell? This show totally went down the drain.
Yes, it did.
Hard right
Let's
turn.
Bring it back. You know, so many people are looking for work these days. And it's always amazing to me if somebody actually gets an appointment for an interview and they skip the interview. And there's some strange excuses for why they do this, right, Jay?
To be honest with you, in my personal view, missing a job interview is inexcusable in this economy and this global economy, really. Everybody needs a job. Everybody is scrambling for whatever work they can get. Well, some reporter thought it would be kind of funny to ask a British headhunting firm, the manager of this headhunting firm, what are some of the excuses you get when you hear that people miss their job interview? And they came up with three great ones. Ready?
Yeah.
Excuses included a lost iPhone reported in an email clearly labeled as sent from an iPhone.
Yes!
That's awesome.
A person said their laptop computer had exploded in the middle of the night, left the owner too traumatized to go in for the job interview.
That happens, man. That's real.
It is not.
No, I've never heard of it.
No.
I know. The struggle is terrible. And a mishap involving apricot jam that affected a potential new hire who feared they wouldn't feel as confident in their other clothes. So, evidently, they were like putting toast.
Yeah.
Spreading the apricot
jam on the clothing.
Hit the thigh or whatever. It's like,
yeah.
Can't go.
That's the one you worry about the least, by the way. Apricot jam, you know? Seems like the best color to try to clean out as opposed to strawberry or grape.
Well, no. The strawberry or the grape is going to stain, but it's going to be red. It's going to look like blood. The yellow color, I think people are going to they're not going to want to go with the yellow.
I'm with you.
But
or
I mean,
the brown.
I see where you're going.
Don't you go to the job interview anyway and say, I was rushing to get here and shake your hand that I accidentally spilled jam on my trousers.
Use it. See, yes. Now you're the guy that gets the job.
I'm so sorry. Please forgive my appearance.
I would just say, I would just take my pants off and tell them that's why.
Okay, I'm here.
Right. Listen,
I made it.
You're not going to believe this. I spilled some apricot jam on here. Thought it'd be rude.
And you got the job.
Yeah. Wow. All right, depending on what the job is. And we always try to find you work. Because we don't want you to grow up to be a troubled teen incarcerated in Tennessee, Chris.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say it's too late for me not to grow up troubled. But Aaron was telling us a story about this Tennessee detention center where 32 teenagers...
In our last program.
Banded together. Yeah, yeah, in our last program, she talked about these 32 teenagers that banded together and created a plot to escape this detention center. This is like action movie status, how they figured it out. Well, it's not over. That was Monday night. Last night, 28 more teens, including a couple of these 32 that had escaped and been brought back, got out and were roaming this campus. Not only were they roaming the campus, they had sticks, pipes, and fire extinguishers.
What? Where the hell did they get sticks and pipes?
Who's in charge of security?
They were stashed around the yard, I guess, and they were chasing and assaulting staff. A couple of people got hurt.
Oh, my God.
So the ringleaders were captured, and they've been separated from the rest of the group, and everybody's back in their cells. But a couple of staffers do have some minor injuries, and there's a revolution going on over there in Tennessee.
I guess so.
Teamwork, told you.
They need to give the officers tasers.
Yeah.
You know, come
something
at me.
To slow him
come
down.
At me, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Boink. Done.
Hey,
where's the next one? Boink, boink, boink.
Hey, what, you guys, with all those naked celebrity photos getting hacked off of the cloud, How safe is your cloud account? Do you wonder about that? I don't necessarily wonder what kind of pictures you're storing up there, but just the same, how safe is your cloud account? We're going to ask our tech guy when he joins us next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Aaron Myers is here. So are Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin. That's the show. And, you know, this week everybody's been talking about all the naked celebrities and their photos getting hacked up in the cloud and who, you know, whatever. Do whatever you want. It's none of our business. Until we find your photos, then it is, and it's fun. But just the same, you probably have a cloud account, and how safe is that? And we want to find out, so that's why our tech guy, Jeremy Antacuni, is here. Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
Hey, gang, I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, thanks. You know, it seems like these days your phone, your little laptop, whatever device, your tablet that you have, it comes with several hundred gigs or even a terabyte of space on the cloud somewhere. And in some cases, your stuff just goes up there automatically. It backs up, and you didn't even really know how you set that up. But it's beyond my understanding. Is my stuff even safe up there?
Well, you know, security is one of those things that it is, you know, if it's easy, then of course you're going to be able to do lots of different things. If it's hard, it's going to make it hard for you to use your devices as well. So there has to be kind of a balance where it's hard enough but is secure so that your data is protected. One of the biggest things that I think we're going to see that is going to come out of this is we're going to see that most of the people that were affected here either used very poor passwords and most likely did not enable something called two-factor authentication. Which,
okay, so you're a Hollywood actress, and you know they're not the brightest people on the planet, so the password we've got figured out. But the what now?
So let me ask you this. How many of you guys actually use two-factor authentication?
I don't even know what that is.
No, I think, we type in a password and we hit enter.
Right. So that's one of the biggest problems is that passwords and the questions that they use to help you remind you what your password is, all of those things are just really, really outdated. And so the information about you that answers those questions can oftentimes be found by, you know, people that are looking online or somebody that you know has a lot of access to that information. So there's something called two-factor authenticate. And what that means is you use your password like you normally do, which is something you know, but then it also relies on something you have, which is typically your cell phone. And so when you log in from a device, typically they will allow you to store the credential for a period of a couple weeks or a month. And what happens is when you log in from a new computer or a new phone, it requires you to have a passcode sent to your phone, typically via a text message, and then you have to type that code in. So they're ensuring that you have the password, of course, but then are also logging in and using the device that you are known to have. Now, so somebody could, of course, get around this if they had your phone, but if they don't have your phone and have your password, they're simply going to be able to try to authenticate, but will never get in because they won't receive that authentication code.
Yeah. All right. Well, it makes sense. It's an extra step. It sounds worthwhile. It also sounds like a slight hassle because we want things instantly, don't we?
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, what's your privacy worth to you? And I enable it on any and all accounts that support it. And a vast majority of the cloud providers do support it now. Yeah. And really, it's not that big of a pain. The text message will show up instantaneously. You type the code in, and it's not something that you have to do every single time you log in. So I think that the trade-off's well worth
it. And there you go. The lesson learned. Nobody's looking at naked Jeremy Antecone pictures this morning.
Oh, thank God.
Well, you know, I don't take naked pictures myself, so that's also one of my recommendations, but that's just me.
Yeah,
but,
recommendation.
Hey, Jeremy, what'd you think of the naked photos of the celebrities? Because I haven't seen them yet, and I'm doing a little recon. What's your opinion?
You know, that's up to you. If you want to go looking for them, I personally am not all that interested in checking them out. And then I also saw an article saying that some of the pictures were of underage girls. So I figured that's probably not very safe to go looking for.
Let's not have that in the cache on my computer. That's for sure. All right. Virtual reality. Is it a reality?
Yeah, it's getting there. You know, you've probably heard of Oculus Rift, which is the Kickstarter campaign that was going out to create a virtual reality headset. And I think that, you know, sometime down the line, we're going to see these things become more and more popular. Right now, they're kind of at the infancy stage where they're large and kind of awkward, and there really isn't a whole lot of apps or content for them. But something cool just came out, which is Samsung has worked with Oculus Rift to create something called Samsung Gear VR. And essentially what that does is it takes your Samsung Galaxy Note 4, the one they just released, and it attaches to the front of this headset system so that when you plug it in, you're able to use that as the virtual reality headset. Kind of a cool idea, but I think that it's a little bit ahead of its time. I don't think we're going to see, you know, widespread adoption of these until they become, you know, a little more, you know, streamlined, smaller, you know, not this huge thing you're strapping to your face and that you actually have something to do with it.
Will Facebook be involved? Because I'm pretty – that Oculus Rift thing, that Mark Zuckerberg bought that, right?
Yeah, Facebook did buy Oculus Rift, and this was developed in partnership with Oculus Rift. So this is a Samsung product, but developed in partnership with Oculus Rift.
All right, let's see. I want to ask you something, because more and more people are doing this, and it came up at a party last weekend. My nephew came up to me and he said, "Hey, have you rooted your phone yet? I have an Android." And I said, "No, I'm afraid to do that. It makes me nervous, actually, even thinking about it or talking about it out loud, because it seems like somebody might come after me." But this is, I think, another term to use for this is jailbreaking. I don't know, maybe that's not what it's called for Android. But explain what that is and why somebody would want to do that.
Sure. So on iOS or on iPhone, you jailbreak your device, and on Android, you root your device. And it's essentially the same thing. What the device has is some security in place that allows the device to only run the software that it's supposed to run. If you jailbreak or root your device, you're essentially removing those restrictions and enabling it so that you can install and tweak whatever you would like to do. And so sometimes people will root their Android device because the software, the updated version of Android, hasn't been fully released to their device yet, and they've, you know, found it online and want to install it before the carrier says that it's okay or the device manufacturer says that it's ready to go. Other people will, you know, want to customize things even further than Android allows you to do. Obviously, you're able to do a lot more on Android than you are out of the box on iOS, but you can do even more with a rooted device.
Do you do this? Are all your devices jailbroken?
Well, you know, I don't have all that many Android devices. I've got a couple that I play around with for development purposes.
How about your iOS, though? Did you jailbreak those?
I typically do, although I've been using the beta software of iOS and using iOS 8 for the last few months. And, of course, there's no jailbreak out for it yet, so I haven't been jailbroken for some time. But I do typically play with the jailbreaks once they do come
out.
Now,
there are these websites that come up now that you go to the website in the browser in your phone. Towel Root is one of them. And you just click on a button and, boom, okay, it starts. And now your phone is just being rooted by some website. That makes me nervous.
Exactly. So number one, you've got to implicitly trust whoever's created this website to not install any sort of backdoors on your phone, that they have to be, you know, having your best interest in mind, which, you know, you never know what's going to happen on a particular website. But there's also some other concerns. One, you can, if the process doesn't go perfectly, if it fails in the middle of it or somehow you do something wrong, the potential is that you can turn your phone into a brick and have to spend the extra time trying to restore it to the original firmware. Your warranty will oftentimes be voided. So if you have trouble with it after you've rooted the device and you go back to your carrier or to the manufacturer and try to get help and they find out that it has been rooted, oftentimes the support will stop right there.
How about once I start uninstalling all the Samsung apps that are on the phone that I can't uninstall now?
Yeah, because, you know, that's probably
one
of the
best
reasons.
Is that going to set up a flag and then Samsung's going to come knock on my door?
No, they're not going to come knock on your door, but when you have problems with your device, they're definitely not going to help you out. And one of the biggest concerns about rooting your device is that because it enables you to install pretty much any software you want, that also means that it's going to be more vulnerable to malware and viruses and those kinds of things. So the protections that exist to make sure that stuff doesn't get installed by default being removed does open you up to, you know, additional concerns.
So what's the point, Jeremy? Why are we rooting and jailbreaking our phones? Does that stuff take up that much space or reduce the performance that much?
You know, it, for 99.9% of the people, you probably shouldn't root your phone. A few years ago, when there were, you know, limited things that you could do on Android, there were more customizations that were available once you rooted your device. But, you know, that really has caught up, and there's really not reasons for the majority of people to even consider rooting their devices. So good. I would definitely recommend against it.
All right, good. And now I'm not going to do it. Thanks to you. Hey, just about a minute left with you, Jeremy, and a big settlement over kids charging up the parents' credit cards on apps,
yeah.
Huh?
As you probably know, apps will allow you to buy in-app currency or other, you know, bonuses within the game and so forth. And some of those apps have purchase values of up to $100. So you could inadvertently spend $100 real buying, you know, garbage stuff in a game. And so Google actually just settled for about $20 million to parents that were unfairly billed for in-app purchases. And so anybody that had, you know, their kids buying games or in-app purchases that they shouldn't have been doing that was unauthorized, you may be able to get some kind of refund from Google for those purchases.
How about that? There was just a big refund from Apple, too, wasn't there?
There was. I think earlier in the year, January, I think it was, Apple settled for $30-something million for something very similar.
How about that? We learned so much when we speak with you, Jeremy. Thank you very much. We'll check in next week when we talk some more tech.
All right. Talk to you then.
Okay. All right. Coming up, something, I don't know what it is, something allows some individuals to perform at the absolute peak of performance, often in front of a live audience, when millions of people are watching live on television from all around the world. What can we learn, what can you learn from an athlete's brain? We're going to try to pick that apart next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thank you for doing that. We watch all types of sports, and these athletes, they're so good at their game. We often forget what it takes to get to the top of the game. Sure, they train for this, but is there something else going on? Let's try to understand what that is. Joining us live, licensed psychologist Dr. Robert Passahow. Dr. Passahow, thanks. You specialize in peak performance training, so you no doubt have spent some time studying what makes an athlete tick. Have you come to any hard and fast conclusions? Are their brains different than ours, or is it just training?
No, it's a combination of both. Genetically, they're just superior than the average person. But there's a lot of people who are genetically superior. Then it becomes with training, getting the right kind of coaching. And then the big thing that I'm in and it's been more and more emphasized is the mental aspects of the athlete, who can handle the pressure better, who can be clutch at the right time, who tightens up and chokes, who can get discouraged but bounce back, or who falls into getting discouraged a little too easily. So the mental aspects has more and more become important because these athletes, the difference in them physically is not that great.
We hear very often over the years, you know, when you have a great pitcher, maybe a previous season Cy Young winner, and then the next season they get the new contract, they're making more money, they get married, they've got a new house and a couple of cars, and all of a sudden the ERA starts going up, and they're giving up runs, and they're losing, and they're not the guy that they were the previous season. Then you hear that they're going to a sports psychologist. What's that conversation like?
Well, some of them go to sports psychologists. Some of them just keep cashing the checks. But the ones, if they're going to a sports psychologist, the ones I've seen that I've worked with, they're motivated because they don't have to go. So if they're motivated, that you talk about what's important to them, I listen to them and figure out how to motivate them to get back to what it was all about. It wasn't about the money in the beginning. It was about the love of the game and to get them refocused and start getting into better habits, and they improve. Now, that's traditional coaching. At some point, I would like to talk about the use of acupressure, not acupuncture, no needles, but acupressure, in helping that situation with athletes or really all mental aspects of an athlete.
So you mean, doctor, when you apply pressure to a certain part of the body, it actually changes the impulses of the brain?
Yeah. First of all, let's realize the acupressure system has been around for 5,000 years. It's the basis of Chinese medicine for 5,000 years. And let's look at their population, and it looks like it's grown pretty good. So that is a basis that we know exists, and that's very effective. What hasn't been done in certain sports, and tennis is one of them, is the incorporation of using that. So, for instance, I'll have someone come in. They have difficulties handling pressure, whether it's in golf in the last few holes or the last games in a tennis match. And I'll have them think about it and think about some of the bad experiences, and they get they get nervous about it. They get tense right in the session, and you do the acupressure. It's a sequence of acupressure points. It's not just one, and it's just tapping. It's not holding onto certain points. And you start dissolving that. And what happens is you dissolve it mentally. You dissolve it in their thoughts, in their feelings. So that when they're actually in that situation, they just don't feel so tense. So you take the average player or athlete that they tend to feel the pressure in those situations. They're taught how to cope with it, but using this peak performance method allows them to just not feel as tense in that situation.
So when they go out and play, they've got teammates, they've got coaches, they've got trainers and all of that sort of thing. But you mentioned tennis. That's an interesting study because those athletes, they're out there on the court all by themselves. They don't get a coach or anything, right?
Great observation. That's one of the points I make in the chapter of my book. It is the most lonely of sports. First of all, it's not a team sport. Two, you don't have a coach. You sit. A boxer's one-on-one, but a boxer gets to come back and get coaching after every round. You have someone in golf. Golf has their caddy. Okay, tennis player, it's just on them. And the other thing in terms of pressure, I love working with golfers and tennis players, and what's unique with the tennis players is you got to win the last point. You can win most of the points and still lose the match. But in tennis, you got to close it out. There's no just gimme. So that's a very unique aspect of tennis that puts extra pressure on the athlete. How many times has the great athletes had break points where they're almost about to lose, and yet they stay steady and they just keep their game at the same level or even elevate it?
True. You know what? And here's the thing. Here's what I want to know. Forget about these athletes. We're a bunch of schlums. We're sitting on the Barca Lounger on the weekend where there's nothing we can do about it. But what I want to know, are we diminishing, and I need your professional opinion on this, are we diminishing the potential of future athletes by giving every single child a trophy just for being on the team and playing an entire season without keeping score?
I agree. That's a problem. You want the child to feel like they got to earn it. They have to put out and they earn it. You give them some different recognition, acknowledgement. And in the beginning, kids need to, it has to be positive. If it's too much pressure, you don't want to discourage the kids. Example, in tennis, there's so much pressure on rankings with the younger kids that there's a tremendous drop-off of the amount of kids who make tennis their number one sport by the time they're 13 or 14. It's a dramatic decrease. So there's a balance. What you talked about, there's too much of that. But you have to have some of that. But after a while, the kid needs to learn that it's only through improving performance that you're going to get certain results. So, enjoying the game is important. Learning and getting better is important. But you can't deny that winning is important and that you have to develop skills. It's not going to be handed to you.
True. Well, but look at the upside, though, what we're doing to these kids. You're going to have all sorts of business in about 10, 15 years.
Wait. I have all sorts of business now. I've had it for 20 years.
Hey, how do you get athletes to handle, you talked about the stress, but there's very often humiliation that comes with being in the public eye. Either you made a mistake on the field, on the court, or you did something in your private life, and then you have to go out and perform.
Right. That's a very good situation. Let me tell you how I handle that. First of all, the person has that negative experience, and for some of them, it stays with them and affects them. When you do these peak performance actualization sessions with the acupressure, that bad, humiliating experience can actually be dissolved so that the person can think about it and it just doesn't have much of a reaction to it. It just doesn't bother them anymore. In terms of the athletic performance, that negative effect just seems to not be there for them. That's what they'll report. They'll just report they're more neutral, they can handle the pressure better. People can be watching them if they don't fear like they used to before. Because once you feel humiliated, you're scared of humiliating yourself again.
Do you do the acupressure yourself, or do you have a whole staff that does it?
No, actually, my clients do it.
Oh, really?
I treat people live, but I actually do a lot of my services on the Internet. Yeah, they just people just need to be shown how to do this. It's a very different method, but it's really not that difficult. And the great thing about it is once you learn it, you don't need me.
Yeah.
Just learn how to do it yourself. So, yeah, most of it's done over Skype. We talk. People talk about what it is they want, what's their biggest problem, like to be able to play well at golf at the end of a match,
and or
hit a certain kind of stroke. And you have them think about it, do the stimulation. And by doing that, you're getting the conscious and unconscious mind, where typical coaching only goes to the conscious mind. So how many times have you been given good advice and you go, yes, but you don't follow through on it?
Just about every time. I mean, it's true probably for most people, right?
Yeah, and that's why you need something that gets to the conscious and unconscious mind simultaneously. Because when you tap on the right kind of acupressure points, it directly stimulates the integrative part of the mind and the emotional part of the mind. And when that happens, performance improves. And people enjoy their sport more.
Yeah. Well, wait, can I? If I don't want to become a professional athlete, I mean, I'm not saying that I could, I'm far from it, but if I want to get a raise or get a promotion, is this something that maybe might tap into the normal Joe Blow?
Yeah, well, I do a lot of peak performance with business people. They feel pressure in certain situations. A classic one is public speaking. So if that would be part of way to do in terms of getting a promotion, whatever the person needs, you just listen to, find out what their weakness is. So maybe a dentist is not good with his staff, but you find out that, you know, when you talk to the dentist, he gets uptight in certain situations, and that's why they're gruff. And you end up diminishing that, and all of a sudden they could be doing better with that. Just even the speech you would give asking for a raise, that can be helped with this method, you know, versus being tentative, as you know, or over cocky, like you definitely deserve it, but finding that middle ground. This method just moves you towards health. And when you're at health, you're totally in tune with the reality of what's best and what's optimal for that particular situation.
Dr. Robert Passahow, I know a lot of these techniques are in your book. Tell us about the book.
The book goes into four core chapters teaching this method. Some of this is new, so I explain about concepts, but the most important is I tell the person the sequence, and I tell the person how to do it themselves. And then there's some complexities, and there's a chapter on troubleshooting. But I also have a chapter in there that, you know, people find funny, which is about me. Because I was somewhat of the chapter's titled The Psychologist Who Needs a Psychologist.
Yeah.
I can relate to having difficulties with handling pressure and anger. That's another big one with sports. And it was only until I found this method that I really got that to be in a better place and situation. So it's a little about that story, the uniqueness of tennis, the whole idea of introducing a whole new way of thinking and being able for people to get more benefit out of the coaching that they get.
Do you have a website, too, that we could go to?
Yeah, it's simple enough. It's performatpeak.com. We spell at, just like the words, performatpeak.com.
All right. We'll add that link to our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com, and we'll link to your book as well in our store if we can do that. Thank you very much, Dr. Robert Passahow.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Same here.
Take care.
All right. We're going to be touching ourselves now.
What?
And calling it acupressure.
Don't you have to pay like $19.95 a month for stuff like that?
Yeah, sure. Sometimes you could pay extra for that if you want to. Anyway, so you learned a little something about that, right?
I learned I'm never going to be a Super Bowl champion, Phil.
True, because it's tough to follow through on the advice that you get, first
on
of all.
Anything.
Yes.
I'm busy.
But I want to win. Well, and if I lose, don't give me a trophy. Yeah. Come on. What are you trying to do?
We'll
set me up for failure?
A small trophy.
Why? No trophy. Yeah. If you lose, you lose.
Well, what if the trophy says loser on it?
No, just just give me a juicy box and I'll go home happy.
Yeah. Some orange slices and get out of here, kid. You bother me.
All right. More next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, here we go. Our final segment on today's program. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. And when you're driving around, you probably see some pretty funny license plates out there, if you could figure out what the alphanumeric code is and what it's trying to say. I had a funny one for a while. It was 33NA3RD. And people thought I was an attorney.
What?
33 and a third.
Yeah, people thought that was my attorney fee. But no, that at the time, you know, I was a DJ, and that's how fast the records used to play, 33 and a third RPM.
Oh.
Right?
Look at you being all smarty pants.
I like that.
Yeah. I still have one of those blue ones with the yellow letters on them in my garage. But just the same, I can't use that because it's not legal to use that license plate, Jay.
No, and a guy in Massachusetts has probably come up with one of the greatest license plates of all time.
Oh.
He got pulled over for it, though. You're not allowed to use it.
Why not?
Made out of cardboard.
Oh.
That's a problem.
You can't make your own license plate? Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. It does look like it's got the date on it. It's got the state on it. It's pretty crude, but, I mean, it got a lot of the, you know, the mainstays that are on a license plate, you know?
Yeah.
But, can't use it.
Can't use that. But people go to all lengths sometimes to get the combination of letters that they'd like on their plate, right?
Guy in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Wanted a vanity license plate, and everybody knows when you go to file for a vanity license plate, you submit it to the DMV. They go over their record. Somebody may have it. They may deem it inappropriate, may have too many letters, whatever it may be. Well, they denied this guy's vanity license plate. They said, look, sir, I'm very sorry, but we cannot have this license plate running around our state of Michigan because it is inappropriate. Inappropriate.
What's inappropriate?
Inappropriate, Phil.
Why?
Guy fought it. Guy went to court, and he won. He won. He took the DMV to court, and he won.
Wow. His I didn't know you could do that.
His license plate, WARSUX, War Sucks.
Oh.
Now, this might be Jerk of the Week.
Yeah? Why?
This might be Jerk of the Week,
This is the Jay Campidonia Jerk of the Week.
You had to fight a war in order for you to have the right to have the license plate that says War Sucks. You jackass.
Wow. See?
You are the jerk of the week.
Why weren't you the attorney for the state in that case? For the
I should have been, right? I should have been like, sir, you're an idiot. Get out of my courtroom.
And put on some socks while you're at it.
Yeah, that's a good case right there. You're an idiot. I like that one.
That's what I do. I cut right to the bone.
Yeah.
You'll learn that about me.
It's the one lawsuit. It's the law school argument that you learn on the third day, right?
That's right.
The you're an idiot argument.
Should be. Yeah. Should be what they learn.
Right. You know what else we learn? Every time we talk to you, Chris, we learn something new, and we consume all sorts of things, don't we?
We do. Massive amounts of all sorts of things every day. So here's some stuff that may astonish you. Over a person's lifetime, the average person You will wear 175 pairs of jeans. Eh, maybe that one's not so.
That seems like a lot to
hard
me.
To grasp.
You know what? Because you wear one pair of jeans for like 12 years, right?
Not if you're a girl.
Oh, you
no.
keep switching them out?
Oh, you should see my closet. I probably have almost
175 pairs.
No, not 175, but we'll go with 50 maybe pairs of jeans in there.
What
and they're
about you,
all
Chris?
Different.
Come on. That's like what? 2-3 pairs of jeans, right?
I rotate, yeah. Maybe 6 pairs of jeans will last me. Yeah, 6 total. That'll
well,
last me a few weeks.
The guy that runs Levi's, what's his name? Bob Levi?
Sure.
Yeah. He said that you should never wash your
ever.
Levi's. Ever.
I have one pair of jeans.
Yeah.
One.
How often do you wash them?
You lie like a rug.
I swear.
You have one pair of jeans. Are you wearing them right now?
No, I wear shorts all the time. But yeah. When I do wear my jeans, like in the winter, I'll wear them for a week.
Yeah, and then they blow out and you sew them up again.
That's what I've done.
Yeah.
I have one
That's
pair of
crazy.
Jeans.
That's crazy. Why do you do that?
Because they're the greatest, most comfortable pair of jeans that I ever
The older
that
they
I
get, the
wear.
Better they are.
Get
yeah.
some true. More great
Why
ones.
Why go... First off, look, dude, I wear what the hell I want. I don't need designer jeans. I don't need three
right.
different colors.
Yeah.
I wear a pair of blue jeans, a pair of black shoes, and a black shirt.
That's
Done.
Right, you no. idiot.
No.
Now put some socks on.
Yeah. No,
All right.
I did
well,
not say that.
Well, let's see. Let's
what
see
else
what
do
else,
we consume?
If you can believe any of this. The average person drinks 86,000 cups of coffee in a lifetime, which is about 125 bathtubs worth.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The average person eats 3,620 slices of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a
it?
Half ton of chocolate.
Yeah.
What about this? 1.3 million sheets of toilet paper, which would cover 3 football fields. And this one may be a little bit... You know what? I'm going to skip that one.
No.
Okay.
Why?
The average woman will go through 10,000 tampons.
Oh.
Which is enough if you lined
you
them all in a row.
You were going to be a gentleman, weren't you?
If you lined them all in a row, that's over a half mile worth of feminine
well,
napkins.
That's
not
a product.
Yeah. Good for teeping houses mm-hmm. if you're in high school. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, okay.
Not saying I ever did it.
No, of course not.
13 cars. You'll own 13 cars.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I think I'm beyond that now.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, when you count the cars that you buy for the kids.
Oh.
Right.
I don't have that problem.
I think I'm up because you have the starter car.
Right.
And that one gets demolished. And then you get the next, like the in-between car, and that one gets totaled. And then you get the new car. So I may be up to like 9 cars already just with
oh
kids.
Oh, my God.
Just with kids.
Oh, my God. I do not envy you, sir.
Well, your latest car doesn't count as a real car.
No, it's a toy.
the Prius?
That's not a
what
real
is it?
Vehicle.
It's a Prius plug-in, and
hey.
You know, and it's a scam. You plug it
Are
in.
Are you a Prius, too?
No.
Oh, I was going to
no.
say, get
but
out.
But in L.A., that's the car, apparently.
Well, yeah, all the celebrities are driving Prius.
See, there you go. You have
What's
to have
What's the scam,
one,
though?
Well, the
I
scam,
must
the
know.
Plug-in is the scam. Toyota and all the other car manufacturers, they get these massive credits from the federal government if they meet certain standards. And so when this car plugs in... While it's plugged in, it's getting 100 miles per gallon. I mean, while it's using the plug-in charge, it's getting 100 miles per gallon. That averages out and brings it to a certain level where now Toyota can sell their four-wheel drive, extra cab, four-door Tundra, and they could get away with that
right.
not lose the power in the engine by bringing its miles per gallon up to about 40. Instead, it's getting 18 to 22. That's where they make all their money is with their truck. So the whole Prius thing is a scam. And it's, anyway, it gets 10 miles on a charge. And then the charge is up, and then you go back to using the gas again.
Well, what's the point? Just get out and walk.
Because it makes you feel nice and good.
Oh,
they
boy.
Do
yeah,
have
that's
good
why...
leg room, I will say that. I was surprised.
It is surprisingly mm-hmm. large, but then again, it will probably crumble like a cracker if it gets hit
yeah,
by,
right.
by a bug. Hey, we love your comments. Feedback at Phil Hewlett and Friends is our email. Twitter is FAF Show. That's PHAF Show. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer, Brooke Peterson. Production assistant is Nick Wright. Assistant in training is Nikki Lucius. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.